Madam Chair, you got the new revised agenda, correct?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's much easier that way. And somebody's going to have to memorialize the resolution in the minutes because Carol's not going to be on this evening.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, 7:30.
The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. This meeting of the Piscataway Township Planning Board is being held through the online meeting platform in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. In keeping with the guidelines that have been disseminated by the Department of Community Affairs, the Planning Board has tried its best to comply with the Open Public Meeting Act and the governor's guidelines in dealing with the current situation. The applicants whose matters are being heard this evening also had the login information for the Zoom meeting in their notice. Members of the public wish to be heard will be afforded an opportunity the appropriate time. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Buckley, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller? He's here. Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Espinoza?
Here.
Thank you. Madam Chair?
Here. Could we please recite the Pledge of Allegiance? The flag is over my right shoulder. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. And everybody was muted, but I heard you anyway. Okay, Mr. Barlow, would you tell us, okay, before that, let's swear in the professionals.
Would you swear in the professionals? Mr. Reinerston?
Well,
where'd you go?
I'm here.
Raise your hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God?
I do.
Okay.
You may also note any changes to our agenda tonight.
Yes. Please note that the Yates Minor Subdivision, which is block 11701, lot 4.11, 1023 River Road, has been carried to the March 9th, 2022 meeting, as has the Patel Minor Subdivision and Bulk Variance at 8 Brotherhood Street, has been carried to the March 9th, 2022 meeting, and 140 Circle Drive North, which is block 4101, lot 3, has been postponed until the March 9th, 2022. And Laura, correct me if I'm wrong, 8 Brotherhood will still notice, correct?
For 8 Brotherhood has to notice, 140 Circle Drive still has to notice, and Yates is good.
So both of those, anybody that's on for those meetings, you'll get a notice for the March 9th meeting. Right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Can I get someone to adopt the resolution of January 12th, 2022? Or should I do it?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Mr. Kenny, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to adopt the, I don't have that.
It's just snack innovations, Reverend.
Yeah.
Item number 7.
Reverend Kenny, it'd be snack innovations 21 PB 36 and 37 V. If that's your motion, then just need a second.
Doyne Corcoran, I'll second that.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller? Is it Councilwoman, she's not here. Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 8, minutes of the regular meeting.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'd like to adopt the minutes for January 12th, 2022.
Can I get a second, please?
Doyne Corcoran, I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Wallach? Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, do we have a discussion? Is here someone here from the Piscataway Middlesex County Votech Schools campus to give us a discussion?
Hello, I'm Adam Finkel. I'll be representing Middlesex County Votech. I'm their architect's office.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Buckley, do you have his name and credentials on the record?
I can get that information and then swear him in and let him make his presentation if you want, Ms. Smith.
Yes, I would like that.
Sir, could you state your name, spell your last name?
Yes, Adam Finkel. F-I-N-K-L-E with SSP Architects.
Okay, and if you raise your right hand, you swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you on?
I do.
Could you just briefly give the board your credentials and then go over the proposal?
Sure. I'm an architect with SSP Architects. We are the architect of record for Piscataway. I am licensed in New Jersey. Do you need anything else?
Testified in front of land use boards before?
Yes, including this board.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, thank you. At the Piscataway campus, 21 Sutton's Lane, we are completing a interior alterations renovation project to convert an existing machine shop and associated classroom into two new upgraded general classrooms and a life and health technology shop. As part of the project, we will be taking an overhead door and converting it to a man door and adding 4 new windows to the exterior wall.
And you're just replacing an exterior cooling tower also?
The cooling tower is being replaced as well, correct. It is below grade in a pit.
Gotcha.
Okay, are there any other questions of the board, Mr. Finkel? How near is this to completion, or when do you anticipate completion will take place?
Construction is expected to begin in the coming weeks. It should be completed by end of summer.
Okay. Hearing no questions from the board, then do I need to open this to the public, Mr. Barlow?
You can, Madam Chair. I don't see anyone in the chat room. I don't think anyone's raising their hands, Laura.
No one's raising their hands.
Okay, close to the members of the public. Mr. Finkel, if that's all you have to tell us and we have no questions, I appreciate your appearance here for the board today.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Item number 10, 21 PB 40/41 Vias and Victor Revolutionary Housing Group, LLC.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the board. My name is Kevin Morse, attorney, Woodbridge, New Jersey. I am appearing on behalf of the applicant, Revolutionary Housing Group, LLC. The subject property is located at 9 Water Street in Piscataway. It presently contains an existing single family residence that fronts on Water Street. And we're before you this evening seeking minor subdivision approval to subdivide that property into 2 lots. One of the lots where the house is fronting on Water Street, that lot is proposed to remain with the existing single family dwelling. The second lot is proposed to front for the construction of a new single family dwelling on International Avenue. Now, for those who may have been on the board back in 2007, I don't know if anyone was, this application was heard and approved back then some 15 years ago by the prior owner and applicant of the property. However, that owner did not perfect the subdivision. I happen to be the attorney of record for that prior owner, and my witness, Paul Fletcher, happened to be the professional engineer and planner on that application. I'm amazed that we're still alive 15 years down the road later. That's a whole nother thing. But before I proceed, I just want to confirm with Ms. Buckley that you did receive our affidavits of publication and mailing. Everything is in order, so the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Everything's in order, Mr. Morse.
Thank you. So I have two witnesses available. Rinkesh Patel, who's here on behalf of the applicant. I don't expect to call him, but he's available if we need him. And I would call Paul Fletcher, who will be testifying as our professional engineer and planner, if he could be sworn, please.
Mr. Fletcher, if you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address.
Certainly, it's Paul J. Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R. Professional address is 54 West Pond Road in Hopewong.
You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you out?
Yes, I do.
Your witness, Mr. Morse.
All right, thank you. Now, Mr. Fletcher, you're a licensed professional and engineer and professional planner in the state of New Jersey, and both of those licenses are in good standing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you were accepted as an expert in both those capacities back in 2007 when you testified before this board. I understand since then, you've also testified before this board in both of those capacities, as well as other municipal land use boards. You've always been accepted as an expert in both fields. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Mr. Barlow, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so first, Mr. Fletcher, I'll call you as in your capacity as a professional engineer. You prepared the plans that are before the board this evening, is that right?
Under my supervision, yes.
Okay, and you were the engineer who represented the prior owner on the minor subdivision application back in 2007, which is really the same project as before the board tonight, is that right?
That's correct.
Can you describe for the board the site as it presently exists?
Yes, there has a lot width of 72.6 feet, a depth of 291 and a half feet, a total area in 21,000 square feet. There is an existing split level single family home, which fronts on Water Street, and that home is proposed to remain. It also has frontage on the terminus of International Avenue. Applicant proposes to subdivide the property in essentially in half, leaving the existing home fronting on Water Street, and to construct a new home that would have access from International Avenue.
Okay, now with regard to the variance relief, the lot is a pre-existing lot with deficiency, correct?
That is correct. This
as well as lot frontage. We're not exacerbating or increasing that situation, are we?
We are not. That's existing. We're in the R2 zone. 100 feet lot width is required.
And the hence the lot post for International Avenue will also be that same lot width, correct?
That is correct.
All right, now I understand that there are some minor setback violations with regard to the existing dwelling that are pre-existing variance conditions, correct?
That is correct. The side yard, single side yard setback is 7.9, where 10 feet is required. That is an existing condition. The combined side yards comply.
And the applicant is not proposing to expand those existing conditions, is it, as a result of this application?
No.
Right. I gather really what we have here is because the square footage of the lot is so tremendous that even with the proposed subdivision or cutting the lot in half, although there is still the lot frontage and lot width variances, the lot area, even with the two lots, exceeds the required lot area for the zone in question. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, with regard to the proposed new dwelling to front on International, I know the applicant submitted a typical plan, may not be the exact plan, but for demonstrative purposes, it's depicted as a 5-bedroom home, correct?
Yes.
And needless to say, there is enough property and sufficient area so that there would be sufficient parking as required under rhesus or the bedroom count for any new dwelling to be built on that property so that there would be no need for any type of parking variance, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and of course, there's sufficient parking already for the Water Street property, is that correct?
Yes.
Right. Now, there are two review memos that we were provided with back before the site plan workshop. One is dated January 25th of 2021 by CME Associates. We had the opportunity to review what are the planning comments on page 5, starting paragraph 8. They are enumerated items A through H, and the applicant can comply and is prepared to comply with all those comments and recommendations. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
All right. We also had the opportunity to review the in-house memo issued by this township's divisions of engineering and planning dated January 25th. The site impact comments are enumerated 1 through 8 on that, and the applicant is prepared to comply with all those recommendations as well. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, in addition to the engineering work that you did on this project, you once again, I'm going to ask you to switch hats now and put on your planner's hat, have reviewed this application from a professional planning standpoint. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you were also testified as the professional planner back on the 2007 application that was approved as well. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, I understand it's your opinion, as much as it was back then, and it still exists today, that the variance relief is cognizable under the C2 or flexible C analysis of municipal land use law on that prong of the statute. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, I'd ask you to detail your review and analysis from a planning perspective, any opinions you reached, and the basis for those opinions for the board's consideration.
Certainly. Here we have a unique and specific piece of property. It's unlike others in the area. It has lot frontage on two streets, Water Street and International Avenue. From a general planning standpoint, this type of double frontage is not a typical or desirable lot configuration in this area. It is a single lot now, but it contains double the required lot area and can support two substantially conforming lots, each with single street frontage. I also believe that the number of purposes in the municipal land use law would be advanced by a deviation. The lot width and frontage do not meet the ordinance, but this is a pre-existing condition. In creating the two new lots, the lot width frontage variance, 100 required, where 72.6 provided for each, is existing. And that is balanced, but with a greater lot depth, 100 feet required, 145 feet provided for each. Both new lots exceed the required lot area under the ordinance, 10,000 square feet required versus 10,579 square feet provided for each. The new lots eliminate the odd double frontage and represent an improvement to zoning by having two substantially conforming lots, each with their own single frontage on Water Street and one on International Avenue. A new house on International Avenue in a mixed area with some older homes blends with the character of the neighborhood. Yet brings improvement, and from a planning standpoint, new investment in the neighborhood positively affects surrounding property values. In addition, the granting of the variances would advance the following purposes of the municipal land use law. Purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which would promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Purpose E, to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations that will contribute to the well-being of persons, neighborhoods, communities, and regions, and preservations of the environment. And purpose G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses in open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements, in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens.
All right, so can these variances be granted without substantial detriment to the public good?
Yes, I see no detriment.
All right, so without any detriment, then the benefits of any deviation would outweigh any detriment in as much as you see none, correct?
That is correct. In fact, it would substantially outweigh any detriment.
Right, and Would it be your opinion then that these variances could be granted without substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the township's zone plan and zoning ordinance?
Yes, again, I see no detriment.
Okay. And, right, that would conclude Mr. Fletcher's planning testimony. And he is my only witness.
Okay, members of the board, do you have any questions? Does anyone on the board have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chair,
I hear you, Reverend. You may go ahead. You may ask the question.
At this time, it's just going to be to subdivide these lots. No building of property or anything yet. Am I correct?
No, that's not correct. This applicant intends on constructing a new single-family residence on International Avenue, which of course that residence conforms to the building envelope. There are no variances of a bulk nature with regard to that. And the board should be aware with regard to the existing dwelling, it was a dwelling that was in need of some facelifting and rehabilitation. And this particular applicant, who's the owner of that as well, they own the whole property. This company is already engaged in substantial renovations of that dwelling unit as well.
Okay, all right. That's what I wanted to know. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Morris, obviously you acknowledge if during construction it turns out that the house envelope is going to require any additional bulk variances, the applicant's aware they'd have to come back, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If there are no more questions of the board, could we please open it to the public?
No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, close to the public. Do I have a motion on the acceptance of this application?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Ms.
It's Dawn Corcoran. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the staff report and subject to the CME report.
I hear a second.
Reverend Kenny, a second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you so much. And I, Mr. Morris, I was on the board at that time. I just looked at
it. Does it ring a bell at all?
Yes, it does, because it's just outside the 200-foot envelope in which I live.
Okay. Well. Okay. Hopefully this is the last time.
I hope it goes through. Thank you.
Let's hope they perfect it this time, Kevin.
I hope so.
Yeah,
it'll improve that corner a lot.
All right. Thanks so much, folks. Everyone have a pleasant evening and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is item number 11, which is 21 PB 46/46 Vias and Victor. ACMY LLC.
Yes, Madam Chair, my name is Sandy Galatio of the law firm of Wendells, Marks, Lane, and Mittendorf. I represent the applicant, ACMY LLC. We're here tonight seeking preliminary and final site plan approval and variance approval for restriping of the existing paved parking lot and several other improvements. The property is under contract to be sold. We anticipate the sale will happen this spring. And one of the purposes of bringing this application is to address certain zoning violations that exist at the property in order to obtain a CCO. The township has identified certain variances that are required for existing conditions. They are listed in the agenda and the variance application. As the applicant's witnesses will testify, a number of these setback violations that require variances stem from a 1989 right-of-way widening of New Brunswick Avenue, which affected the setbacks for the existing building and signs at that time. We're presenting three witnesses tonight, the applicant, a civil engineer, and a planner. Without further ado, we'll get to it. My first witness is Lester Weiss. He's the principal of the applicant. If he can unmute his connection, turn on his video.
Mr. Weiss, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address, sir.
Lester Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, 4100 New Brunswick Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
So did you say 4100?
Yes.
Okay. You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God?
I do.
Thank you. You're a witness, Mr. Galassio.
Thank you, sir. The applicant, ACMY LLC, is the owner of the property, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and you are the sole member of the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. And Transpackers, which is an affiliate of the owner, is the current tenant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And my understanding is the property is currently under contract to be sold sometime probably this spring?
Yes.
And Transpackers would continue as a tenant after that sale?
Yes.
Okay. And about how long would Transpackers remain as a tenant after the sale?
Year and a half.
Okay. And what business does Transpackers engage in at the property?
We're contract food manufacturers.
And about how many employees does Transpackers have?
Approximately 65.
Okay. And do you know how many vehicles are used to transport those employees to work on a day-to-day basis? How many, what the use of the parking lot is?
Approximately 20 to 22 vehicles.
Okay, so some of the employees carpool daily?
That is correct.
Okay, where do they carpool from?
Many carpool from New Jersey or various towns of Piscataway and the surroundings, and many from New York City,
okay,
in the Bronx.
Thank you. And what are the hours of operation at the facility?
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and on Fridays, 7 to 5.
Okay. Is there one shift or several shifts?
It's one single shift.
Okay. And does the site receive any visitors on a regular basis?
Very few.
Okay. And what's the truck traffic daily?
Two to four trucks a day.
And is there a package delivery daily?
We receive UPS, occasionally FedEx, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. And how often is the dumpster at the facility serviced?
I believe twice a week.
And you also have recycling picked up?
Yes, we do. That's on a weekly basis.
Okay. And I understand you also have a uniform service?
That is correct.
And how often is that?
That is once a week.
Once a week. Okay. And there's an existing driveway, a paved driveway in the southern portion of the property. Is that used as part of the daily operation, or is that not used at this point?
It is not used at this point.
And if you recall, there was some of the violations that were cited at the property consisted of storage trailers being used. Those are going to be removed, correct?
They are already removed.
Okay. And there was outdoor pallet storage also. Is that being removed or has that been removed already?
The pallets, broke, those are picked up on a weekly or biweekly basis by an outside service where they're disposed of.
And there was a Quonset hut or a shed that was also behind the building. That's been taken down, I understand, as well.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all the questions I have for this witness. Would you like to have the board or the public question now or wait till the end, Madam Chair?
I'd like to get any questions that the board may have right now. Board members, do you have any questions of this witness? Of the testimony he has given so far. Hearing no questions, Ms. Buckley, would you see if there's any questions from the public?
I don't see anyone, Madam Chair.
Okay, close to the public. Okay, Mr. Galassio, you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next witness is our civil engineer, Mr. Greg Oman from Menlo Engineering.
Okay.
Mr. Oman, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address on the record.
Sure. Gregory Oman, O-M-A-N, 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey.
Raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got?
Yes, I do.
Your witness.
Mr. Oman, can you briefly give your professional qualifications and indicate whether you've testified in front of this board before?
Certainly. I am the president and owner of Menlo Engineering Associates, have been with Menlo now for over 23 years. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey now for just over 19 years, also licensed in the state of Pennsylvania. I have testified in front of this board numerous times.
Okay, thank you very much. For Mr. Oman as an expert in civil engineering.
He's acceptable to this board.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Oman, you've prepared the site plan that was submitted in connection with this application, correct?
Yes, I have.
And you've prepared testimony on behalf of the applicant, correct?
Correct.
Can you provide that testimony?
Certainly. I'd like to share my screen. Can everyone see the aerial photo?
Yes.
Perfect.
Mr. Galascio, we'll just cite this as Exhibit A1 and continue that trend if he puts anything else up, okay?
Yes, sir. It's been, if you can see, it's been marked in the upper left-hand corner as A1.
Perfect.
And we did provide copies of these exhibits to Ms. Buckley prior to the hearing.
Perfect. Thank you.
So my first exhibit, A1, is entitled Existing Conditions Exhibit. It's basically just an aerial photo with the property boundaries overlaid on top of that, showing the road network adjacent to the property. This application is for a 10.99 acre parcel identified on the township's tax map as block 1701, lot 2.03. The site falls within the M5 industrial zone. The use here, which is food packaging, is a permitted use within the M5 zone. The site is bound by New Brunswick Avenue to the east, Conrail right-of-way to the south. At the southeast corner of the property is the intersection of Tyler Place and New Brunswick Avenue, and existing woods to the west and northern sides of the property. Site is currently fully developed, contains a one-story masonry building of approximately 96,080 square feet. It's an industrial parking stalls. These stalls are 9 feet in width.
Mr. Oman, you cut out. Can you just start from the woods?
Certainly. Yeah, I just got a message. My internet was unstable. Okay. I apologize.
No problem.
Woods to the west and to the northern sides of the property. The site is fully developed. Contains a one-story masonry building of approximately 96,080 square feet, utilized for food packaging. There are 95 parking stalls on the northern side of the existing building. These stalls are 9 feet in width by 18 feet in depth, with two ADA striped parking stalls. Per township code, the requirement for this building is 238 parking stalls. Again, 95 exist on site today. Two-way driveway aisle widths are only 21 feet in width, where 25 feet is required per code. There are six loading docks located on the western or rear of the building that provide the access in and out off of the northeasterly driveway in off of New Brunswick Avenue. As mentioned on previous testimony, there is an existing full movement driveway out at the southeast corner, which is not used typically by this tenant. It's more of an emergency access, but there is also a 50-foot wide Buckeye gas line easement that is located along the southerly property line. So this access road does provide access for them to go on site if they need to maintain or do any kind of inspections on their line and within their easement area. There are two existing monument signs that are located along New Brunswick Avenue. The first is a 43 square foot, 5 foot high sign located roughly in the middle of the property line of the lot frontage along New Brunswick Avenue. It is set back 39 feet off of the current right of way. The second sign is a 7-square-foot, 3-foot-high ID sign that is actually located within the right-of-way just south of the northeasterly driveway. This sign was actually located outside of the right-of-way, but when the dedication was done, it actually pushed it within the right-of-way. And I'll testify about that shortly, that we're going to slide that into the property. Lastly, the site drains basically from an east to west direction out to the rear of where the existing wood line is along the northerly and westerly sides of the property. Did everyone see my second exhibit that I have up?
Up in the corner.
Mm-hmm. A2, this is marked A2. This exhibit is entitled Minor Site Plan Exhibit. Virtually the same plan with basically an aerial photo showing the boundary properties, and it shows the minor improvements that we are proposing here tonight. There are no changes currently proposed for the building at all. The minor site plan changes that we are making start with the restriping of the northerly parking lot to provide the extra 2 additional ADA parking stalls to bring it up to code for 4 total, and also provide the 25-foot two-way driveway drive aisle widths to match code. We are not losing any parking. We are maintaining the existing 95 parking stalls that exist today. We are providing some additional sidewalk along the ADA parking stalls that we're proposing to provide safe and adequate ADA access to the main entrance. We're constructing a 5-foot sidewalk along the entire frontage of New Brunswick Avenue. This is a 5-foot sidewalk with ADA ramps located at each of the 2 full movement driveways. The existing ID sign is going to be slid into the property, set off the right-of-way 10 feet based on the recommendations made by the board professionals. We're also going to replace, there are 2 to 3 trees that are being removed for the restriping and construction of the additional ADA access and parking stalls. Those will be placed on site. Drainage patterns and utilities remain unchanged by this site plan application. In terms of outside agencies, we have received our conditional Middlesex County Planning Board approval. And because we are disturbing over 5,000 square feet, mostly for the construction of the sidewalk, we will require a soil erosion permit from the township. We do have a professional planner who is going to go through the existing nonconformity variances and waivers that exist today and are going to kind of maintain as we move forward as our proposed conditions.
Thank you, Mr. Roman. Now, I'd like to take an opportunity to review the comment letters that were provided by the board and its professionals with you. We did receive comment letters from the Department of Public Works, which did not have comments, and the Fire Prevention Bureau, which approved the application with no comment. The first I'd like to go over is the planning memorandum from the township dated January 25th, 2022. Do you have a copy of that, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have any responses to some of the comments that were made in this report?
Yeah. So to summarize, the applicant is willing to basically do every of the recommendations made within this memorandum, with the exception of the removing and replacing all the new lighting and any of the landscaping that is being requested, along with the electric vehicle charging stations. The reason being is they are looking, as previously testified to, they are looking to sell this property. Potential buyer, in what I've been told, has already been looking at making site plan changes and will be back in front of the board. It was discussed briefly at the TRC meeting that some of these items, including lighting, landscaping, and charging stations, could be part of a developer's agreement that puts a timeline that if for some reason the sale of the property doesn't go through within so many years, then this particular applicant would be required to make these improvements. I can just identify the comments that we won't comply with within that memo. It's items 2 and 3, which are both regarding site lighting. Item 5, in terms of milling and overlaying the entire parking area, but they will be willing to replace any really damaged areas. Item 9, which is the electric charging stations, and 10 through 14, which all has to do with landscaping. And then we also had the opportunity to review the CME review letter dated January 21st, 2021. And similarly, we can comply with everything in this letter, except for comment 9A, which is again, is the EV charging. And that is it. We can comply with any of the other recommendations made within that letter.
And I have one comment on item 17 in the January 25th memo from the township. The applicant is willing to provide the municipality with a 15-foot wide access easement across the southern driveway to access lot 1.01, which is directly behind this property to the west.
Mr. Galassio, just so I'm clear, with regards to 17, you're willing to provide a 15-foot access easement. And then based on what Mr. Oman said, you have 9A in the CME report and number 9 in the Mr. Hinterstein's report that deal with the electric vehicle charging stations. Now that's a state statute. So you're suggesting to encompass that with the landscaping and other items into a developer's agreement?
Yes. We'd like to avoid installing, going through the expense of installing the wiring in case it's being removed or demolished by the new owner that's coming in, who would be required to install an appropriate number of EV stations in accordance with their site plan. So I understand this property is also being considered for redevelopment designation. And that would be, redevelopment would be accomplished by the new owner.
Okay. And then we would have time frames in there where either this applicant or the new owner would have to do it within a certain time frame, or as part of a subsequent site plan, if it's within that time frame, is what you're proposing.
That is correct, sir.
And Mr. Barlow, if I may, this is Dawn Corcoran.
Ms. Corcoran, do you have any comments?
No. I just wanted to say that with regard to item 17 of the staff report, the township does agree to the 15-foot wide access easement.
And Ms. Corcoran, is the staff amenable to a developer's agreement to encompass the time frames for the other comments in the staff reports?
Yes, that is correct.
Those are all the questions I had at this point, Ms. Smith.
Okay, is this the end of his testimony?
Yes, it is.
Okay, are there any other questions from the board?
Just a comment from the planner. I understand that I wasn't psychic. I just forgot to change the year to 2022. So my apologies for that.
Okay, apology accepted. Buckley, would you please check and see if there's any questions in the public? Can we take this down now if you're finished with the, okay, fine, thank you.
You're muted, Laura.
Hey, no one's raising their hand, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, close to the public. Okay, do you have any other witnesses, Mr. Galaccia?
Yes, Madam Chair. My final witness is Colleen McGurk, who is our planner.
Okay, you may proceed.
Ms. McGurk, you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide us with your professional address.
Colleen McGurk, last name M-C-G-U-R-K. Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N.
I am a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey and a member of AICP. My license is current. I have testified.
Just wait, I haven't sworn you in yet. I just wanted your address.
Sorry.
Raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
You're a witness, sir. I think she wants to tell us your credentials.
Yes. Colleen, could you give the board your credentials and your appearances before boards in this state?
Yes, sorry. I'm a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey and a member of AICP. I received my license in 2012, and I have appeared before multiple boards, including Bedminster, Old Bridge, Woodbridge, Edison, and also Piscataway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I offer Ms. McGurk as an expert in planning.
Ms. McGurk is accepted as an expert in planning.
Thank you. Ms. McGurk, you've reviewed the application and materials for this site plan application, correct?
Yes, I have.
And I understand you've conducted an inspection of the site?
Yes, I actually went twice.
Okay. And you have prepared testimony in support of the variances being sought?
Yes.
Okay, can you provide that testimony to the board, please?
Yes, thank you. The master plan classifies this area as industrial and has no recommendations for rezoning. The subject property, known as Block 1701, Lot 2.03, contains 10.99 acres and is an odd-shaped lot that is located within the M5 industrial zone. And the existing use is a food distribution center, which is a permitted use in this zone. The lot contains a one-story, 96,000 square foot building, which was constructed in 1967, a 95 stall parking lot and a gravel parking lot with six loading areas. The surrounding area is industrial and commercial with multifamily residential and single family residential further to the north and west. The surrounding zones are light industrial to the west and north and shopping center zone to the south. The border of South Plainfield is to the east. The applicant is proposing to restripe the parking lot, install striped islands to the lot, relocate the guard shack, curb and pavement improvements, a 5-foot wide sidewalk along New Brunswick Avenue, and to remove a concrete pad and install four ADA parking stalls adjacent to the building. In order to justify the variances requested, bulk relief can be granted based upon C1 and C2 analysis. The C1 analysis deals with hardships related to the property, the physical aspects of the site. The C2 is a weighing test. Do the benefits outweigh the detriments? The proposed bulk relief can be granted based on C1 hardships pertaining to this specific property and C2 analysis, since the proposed variances advance the purposes of the MLUL and the benefits of granting of these variances outweigh any detriment that may result from their approval. The following bulk variances are required. Paved parking lot. The gravel parking lot is existing and is located at the rear of the building, which contains the loading area. It has been functioning well with this type of use for decades. The area is for large deliveries only. Employees and visitors utilize the paved parking lot. The applicant is asking for a variance from this requirement. Parking. 238 parking stalls are required, whereas 95 are existing and 95 are proposed. The tenant is not increasing the parking demand, since the use is remaining that of food distribution. Only the owner is changing. The applicant is altering the parking lot layout in order to install the four ADA compliant parking stalls adjacent to the building. This is an improvement from the existing condition with only two ADA parking stalls, whereas four is required. So it will now be compliant with state regulations. The parking requirement is stringent for the warehouse and parking and manufacturing uses, and in this case requires more than the applicant needs. During my site visit on January 13th at 1:30 p.m., the parking lot was less than half full. And again on February 1st at 12:30 p.m., I observed a parking usage of only 22 cars parked at the site. The applicant has also provided testimony stating that the existing parking is adequate for their needs. I also reviewed ITE parking standards, which would only require 0.5 stalls per 1,000 square feet of warehouse space, which would create a parking need of 34 stalls versus the 135 required. And the office use, ITE recommends 2.84 stalls per 1,000 square feet. So for the office portion, 13 stalls would be needed. And for the manufacturing portion, 1.3 per 1,000 square feet. So a parking need of 32 for a total of 79. In my professional opinion, the existing 95 stalls is sufficient for this existing use. Minimum front yard setback. For both the building, the existing building, the parking lot is 80 feet, whereas 61 is existing for the building and approximately 37 feet for the lot. The intrusion into the setback is due to a 27-foot right-of-way dedication granted in 1989, which provided a benefit to the township and its residents. Prior to the dedication, the principal building was conforming. Since the dedication, there have been no negative impacts to the adjacent properties or any substantial detriments to the purposes of the zone plan. Signage. One sign is permitted, whereas two are existing. The second sign is needed since the property is located at a T intersection and there is also a bend in New Brunswick Avenue. The additional signage increases traffic safety by letting traffic coming from three directions know where the site is located. Signage minimum distance from right-of-way. Both existing identification signs are located within the front yard setback. The northerlymost sign located nearest the driveway, as been provided in testimony, will be relocated 10 feet inside the property line, whereas it is currently 17 feet into the right-of-way, thereby reducing the variance. The second sign is 39 feet, whereas 80 is required. The applicant is requesting a variance for the second sign to remain in its current location and also a variance still for the relocated sign. The signs are much smaller than the permitted max of 150 square feet and would not clearly be visible if placed 80 feet from the property line as required. The southern sign is 43 square feet with a height of 5 feet, and the northern sign is 7 feet with a height of 3 feet. Signage within right-of-way. The northerly sign will be relocated 10 feet inside the property line, therefore eliminating this variance. Additional signs. Minimum distance to any similar sign is 2,000 feet, whereas 315 feet is existing between both signs. Both signs are much smaller than the ordinance allows. Both signs are attractive. The signs are not intrusive, nor do they block views for traffic and pose no negative impacts.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, Colleen. For that variance with the 2,000 square foot, whereas 315 is existing, we identified in the CMA report where they indicated that the distance between the signs was not given. So subsequently, we went out and measured that. So that would be a variance from 21-1203.5.
Correct.
That's additional. Yeah, that's additional to what we have in the agenda.
Thank you. The final one would be the electric charging stations. I know that was just discussed. I actually had a different take on that. I did not think, I believe this is a minor site plan. So in reading the state regulations, I did not think that it would be required and it would go under the township ordinance. The state law refers to preliminary site plan only, but I'll leave that up to the attorney and the board to make that determination. So I just have a few remaining design waivers. I understand the lighting and the landscaping is going to be incorporated into a developer's agreement. So I don't know if you really want me to discuss those or just continue on with the justifications.
Yeah, Mr. Barlow and Ms. Cochran, I think the EV stations and the lighting and landscaping waivers would be, there would be no variances required for that since they're being incorporated in a developer's agreement and the applicant would still have the obligation or the new owner.
I mean, if you okay.
Agreed. Since you've agreed to comply, it's more the question of the timing of it, the developer's agreement. We'll take care of the timing of it, but since you've agreed to do it, I don't think variance relief would be necessary.
Thank you. I'll just continue on with the rest of my testimony. The C1 hardship in relation to this property is the existing location of the building, the parking lot, and the freestanding signs, and this has been the case for many decades. All of the structures were affected by the 27-foot right-of-way dedication, which reduced the frontage of the property. It is also an odd-shaped lot, which presents a hardship. These hardships can justify the variances for the existing front yard setback, the parking lot, and the signage. The applicant also advances several purposes of the MLUL. Purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state, in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. We know that the property is located in the M5 zoning district and is a permitted use, and the surrounding area consists of similar uses. Its current layout will remain the same with the exception of the parking lot improvements, which will improve safety, and the ADA improvements, which brings the site into conformance with state regulations. The guardhouse is also being relocated. The applicant has agreed to install a sidewalk along New Brunswick Avenue, and this improvement will provide a benefit to the surrounding area. The design waiver for parking aisle width is being eliminated, which also increases safety, and the northernmost sign is being relocated out of the right-of-way. Purpose G, to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agriculture, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses, and open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. The granting of the variances for the existing nonconformities would provide sufficient space for an industrial use that meets the needs of the local and regional population. Purpose M, to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of the land. The required improvements will not mitigate any negative impacts since this business has been in operation for a long time and there appear to be no negative impacts. The existing violations have been addressed by the applicant. The business has a positive impact on the area by providing necessary services. Further improvements will also be made to the property as per the timing in the developer's agreement. To make these improvements at this stage would pose an undue hardship since the current tenant will be relocating and the future plans of the property are uncertain. This is an existing permitted use. The building size and intensity of the use will remain the same. Therefore, it is my professional opinion that the granting of these variances will not result in a substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the master plan or the zone plan. The benefits of this development outweigh any potential detriments. Thank you.
And that concludes your testimony?
It does. Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
Mr. Glossy, just one quick question. There was testimony with regards to the distance between the two signs, and you are conceding that you need a variance for that distance, but obviously you believe the planning testimony has addressed that, correct?
Correct.
And Ms. McGurk, could you just, what was the distance that you measured it at?
315 feet that was provided to me by the engineer.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the board with reference to Ms. McGurk's testimony? Hearing no response from the board, can we ask the public, open it to the public? Do you see any hands, Ms. Buffer?
No one from the public, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Okay, does that complete your testimony, Mr. Galatia?
Yes, it does, Madam Chair, and I'd like to thank the board and its consultants for considering this application. I appreciate your time and effort in looking at it, and I hope we have a favorable outcome here. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the board, you've heard the testimony. What's your pleasure with reference to this application? Do I have a motion? Yes, go ahead, Mr. Reverend Kenny.
Make a motion that this application be approved pending the various different changes, if there be any.
Do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second that.
Thank you. Ms. Buckley, could you call the roll, please?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. The application is granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Okay. Item number 12 on our agenda tonight is 21 PB 44/45 Victor QTS Investment Properties Scataway LLC. Preliminary and final site plan.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Good evening. Larry Kiley on behalf of the applicant.
first want to thank the board for hearing us tonight. It wasn't that long ago, Madam Chair, that we were at the workshop with you, and
yes,
the board was quite accommodating about getting us on this agenda. I am very grateful. I know the applicant is incredibly grateful for the opportunity to get going this evening. So I want to thank you folks again for that. Brief background, Madam Chair, we're not going to take up all that much of your time this evening. Certainly go through all the questions you folks have and answer all of them. But we were just recently before this board, if you recall. In fact, I think it was a year ago tomorrow that we were here on February 10th last year for an addition to the property by way of a generator yard, if you recall. We took the board through the application at that time, told the board all the great things that QTS has done at this property since they've owned it. QTS has since undergone an endeavor to further expand the use of this property by way of a principal structure addition. That's what we're here for this evening, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Just some brief background. The site's 101 Possum Town Road. It's a large site. It's a 38-acre site in the LI5 zone. It's a permitted use, what we've got there today and what's going to be there tomorrow. It's an existing data center, relatively innocuous use, not all that much folks coming in and out on a day-to-day basis, with parking fields and our generator yards and some other accessory structures and improvements. The data center has been quite successful, and they have the need to now expand their data center to serve their existing and new clients and customers. So the proposal is for an approximate 45,000 square foot footprint addition, Madam Chair, two-story addition. The proposal is going to match the existing structure with material, colors. It's going to blend in well. Our architect will take you through that shortly, Madam Chair, as to what's going to happen in the addition. Our site engineer will testify first, take you through the site as it exists today so the board can refamiliarize yourselves with the lay of the land here and where we propose to develop this addition. We'll note the variances that we generate. There are some slight bulk variances. Notwithstanding being on 38 acres, the existing structure is quite sizable. So we generate some setback relief. Some of it matches existing relief and encroachment that exists today, but it's new for the addition. Other relief is wholly new, but they're all bulk variances. We think they're appreciable, and our engineer will identify them as he walks you through the site plan shortly, Madam Chair. You'll then hear from our project architect briefly. We'll walk you through the floor plan. We'll walk you through the skin of the addition. The net change here really is zero, Madam Chair. There's no change to operations, no change to the site uses, the services, the hours, and the net change of employees is quite nominal considering the operations here of a data center. So really not much happening except for the addition itself, Madam Chair and members of the board. Lastly, notwithstanding the fact that we think our variances are relatively slight and appreciable, you will hear planning testimony from our third and final witness this evening, Madam Chair. And at that point, we hope to conclude and put the matter in your hands at that point. And if no questions, we're glad to get started with our first witness.
You may proceed.
Thank you. So first we'll call Mike Marinelli of Menlo Engineering, and we'll shortly qualify him as a civil engineer.
Mr. Marinelli, could you state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address, please?
Go on mute, Mike.
No.
Still don't have you, Mike.
No, oh, your headphones aren't working.
No.
Unplugging.
It's a good thing he's an engineer. He should be able to figure this out.
This is normally where I hit my TV or computer, but I'm not sure what he's going to do with his headphones.
Control, Alt, Delete, or unplug it. Right. Those are the only two things I know.
Unplug it.
Exactly right. We might need some help from the data center applicant here, Madam Chair, in a moment with some technical difficulties.
Or he could just call it on his phone.
does his computer have a mic?
I think it's just his headphones. Yeah, he's calling it. Call. So just give him a second. He'll be right on.
Thank you for bearing with us, folks.
This will work.
All right, I apologize for that, everybody. It's weird because okay. I used the exact same setup for the workshop meeting we had last week, but for whatever reason, it's not currently working. So I apologize for that delay.
No problem, Mike.
So you can hear me now, I assume.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, yes. Great. My name is Michael Marinelli, Marinelli, of Menlo Engineering, located 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey.
Okay. You raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Mike, for the benefit of the board, would you briefly describe your educational background, experience, and licensing?
Surely. I am a graduate of Rutgers University, class of 1999. I've been practicing site planning and site engineering since that time. At Menlo Engineering, I am a licensed professional and have been so for 15 years tomorrow. So I'm a little bit of an anniversary. I've provided professional testimony in front of numerous boards across the state, including this one on multiple occasions.
Madam Chair, we'd offer Mr. Marinelli as an expert in the field of civil engineering.
He's acceptable as an expert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mike, the plans filed with the board were prepared by your office, you and or under your direction. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. To say the least, you're familiar with the site and the proposed improvements?
I am.
So what I'll do now, Mike, is I'll turn it over to you. And anytime we get to a sheet, even if it's just mocked up in color that deviates from the filed plan set, let's call it out, identify it, and we'll mark it as an exhibit. And counsel, just so you're aware, the limited exhibits we're going to show this evening were advanced to the township, you know, in comport with the DLGS guidelines more than 48 hours. So what you're going to see tonight is posted on the website, nothing more. And we'll call things out when it varies from the filed plans.
Okay. And just for ease of reference sake, we'll just call it A1, which is the existing conditions exhibit.
Okay, Shirley, sure. So everybody can see my shared screen?
Yes, Mike.
Okay. The exhibit you see here entitled QTS Piscataway Existing Conditions Exhibit dated 2/7/22 is an aerial representation of the site actually, prior to our previous approval. The aerial hasn't been updated yet with the approval that we received last year that Mr. Calley had spoke about, where we added a generator yard on the east or top side of this exhibit. Again, this is it's an irregular lot, as you can see in the highlighted black dotted line, which has three frontages, Possum Town Road, to the west or bottom of the exhibit, where the main access is. There's a secondary or emergency egress on Circle Drive to the north. And then there's technically frontage along 287, but there's no access to that. The lot is designated as block. There are two lots. There's a rectangular, more regular size lot on Possum Town Road on the northwest corner of the property. But the block and lots are block 4102, lot 3.01, and block 4202, lot 6.02 on the tax map of Piscataway Township. The property is commonly known as 101 Possum Town Road. And as I said, it's located on the eastern side of Possum Town Road between Circle Drive, which is immediately to the west, the intersection of those roads are just off the sheet to the bottom left, and Centennial Avenue on the other side of Route 287 to the east. As I said, the property has two access points, one on the western side, Possum Town Road, and the second emergency egress on the north side of Circle Drive. Overall, the property is approximately 38.12 acres is located entirely within the LI5 or light industrial zone. The site, as you can see, the surrounding areas on the north and west are primarily other industrial uses. There is a lot being developed immediately to the northwest, is currently under construction. There's a park across Possum Town Road, immediately to the west. And then, as I said, Route 287 bounds the property on the south side. as you can see, the site is developed. This was actually a redevelopment when they built the original DuPont Fabros building back in 2008. And it was expanded in 2011. And again, received approval from this board to include some additional external generator or utility yard on the western side back in 2020. There are a couple of smaller buildings or accessory buildings located, including a guardhouse and a metal building, which are all part of the operations here that have existed for some time now. The applicant, as you can see from this exhibit, and I will zoom in for a period. As you can see from the exhibit, the site doesn't really generate a lot of traffic. In this particular instance, I believe there's 17 cars in the parking lot. This is pretty regular for this facility. The site doesn't, although we have 155 existing parking spaces, it is very underutilized in the existing condition. And when I go through the proposal this evening, you'll hear that we're not anticipating any additional or very few additional trips based on the proposed addition. What I would like to know, however, is as part of the previous approval from last year, 2020, the applicant did construct four electric vehicle parking spaces. So there are four existing spaces on site. And in a minute, I will tell you that we're going to improve upon that to meet the current standards for that. In all, there are 155 existing parking spaces. You can see the circulation around the building. It's not really for operation, more for emergency access. There's a loop road that circulates the entire building. And again, there's secondary access or emergency egress off of Circle Drive. If I may now switch exhibits and share what I assume we will note as exhibit A2.
Yes, thank you, Mike. If you could identify A2, Mike, before we speak to it.
So this is QTS Piscataway site plan exhibit dated 2/7/2022. This is the same aerial photograph in the background, but what we've done is highlighted the proposed improvements and colorized the landscaping so that the board can see. You also note this is a zoomed in view because although on exhibit A1, you probably saw that the site is rather large. The proposed improvements are primarily on the southern side of the existing structure. What the applicant is proposing is to continue the two-story structure to the south with a 44,572 square foot addition. This will bring the total to two-story addition. So the total square footage within the addition will be 89,144. This brings the site total for the data center to 442,022 square feet, which is made up of 52,452 square feet of office, 114,650 square feet of mechanical space, as well as 274,920 square feet of storage. As you can see, the circulation on site remains the same. That loop road, which currently wraps the southern end of the building, will just be extended around the proposed addition. The addition is noted by the tan color on the southern side or right side of the exhibit A2. These rectangles that you see around this addition are exactly the same utility yards that you approved back in 2020. There are three of them on the east, west, and southern sides, totaling 12 new equipment containers, which hold the electronic components for the equipment yard, 12 generator positions, which are again exactly the same as the slabs on the previous approval, and transformer pads that circle those proposed utility yards. Again, this is very similar to what was approved in 2020. And you can see on this exhibit, we've sketched in that previous approval, which has since been constructed. We're also the applicant is also taking this opportunity now, as far as loading goes on the existing building, there are three on the western side of the building, three dock positions. As part of the 2020 approval, the applicant built a fourth dock position on the southwest corner of the building. And as part of this application, we're proposing a second dock in that location to bring the site total to five dock positions. As you can see, we've enhanced the landscape buffer along 287, as well as in the revised detention basin on the existing western side of the existing parking area. What I didn't mention in the Exhibit A1 is there's two existing detention facilities on site. There's a wet pond, or you can see the fountain on Exhibit A2 is active. That was constructed as part of the original design. There's also a small dry basin or detention basin on the western side of the existing parking area. And you see we've landscaped or buffered that revised basin. In all, we're proposing 28 shade trees, 41 evergreen trees, and 115 shrubs surrounding the property and buffering or adding to the existing buffers that exist on site today. Of course, because this is a circulation road, we're improving the lighting in this area as well, with 8 pole-mounted dark sky compliant LED downcasting fixtures mounted at 24.5-foot high, with a design of 0.5-foot candle minimum and a 1.26-foot candle average, which meets the township ordinance. From a stormwater management perspective, to offset this additional building or clean runoff, the applicant is proposing to expand the existing dry detention basin on the western side of the parking lot in order to accommodate that additional runoff within the existing facilities. Now, when this original building was redeveloped, there was a lot of extra planning that was put into these detention facilities so that it accommodated excess water quality and excess groundwater recharge than what was required at the time. So the impacts of the proposed addition and the extension of the loop road are mitigated by the fact that the existing facilities were in fact over-designed, but we are accommodating the additional runoff volume by expanding the existing basin to create more volume and be able to detain that, so that in the future condition, post-development condition, the actual runoff from the site is less than what it is in the existing. As I said, it's a small increase in impervious coverage. It's only 4.3% increase in impervious coverage. And again, this was part of a redevelopment. So the impervious coverage that will exist, even if this is approved and constructed, will be well less than what was previously here before the data center was in fact constructed. The site is going to utilize existing on-site utilities, including water, gas, and sewer. However, they will be extended to the new facility. And of course, the water line will wrap around to the east, west, and south of the proposed addition in order to provide adequate fire safety and fire hydrants. There are a bunch of existing nonconformances that I'd like to just run through real quick with the board. There's a side yard setback of an accessory building of 39.4 feet, and that was approved as part of the previous 2020 approvals, where 50 foot is required. Additionally, there's an existing tower on the eastern side of the building in the northern part of the concrete area, where that existing accessory structure is 60.5 feet, where 25 foot max is permitted. Again, this is an existing condition. As far as loading berths go, this site would require 19 loading berths, but because of the operations here, not being a distribution center or a typical warehouse, the applicant only has 4 existing and is proposing a fifth, which meets their needs, but requires relief from the board, continued relief from the board. The existing sign is located in the landscaped area on the northern side of the Possum Town Road access. That sign is set back 25 feet where 50 is required. Again, this is an existing condition. The building signage is not proposed to be changed, but it was previously approved for 376 square feet, where 150 square foot maximum is required. And finally, as far as existing nonconformities go, the board previously granted a fence height variance for an 8-foot high fence along the frontage, where 6-foot max is permitted. There are a few new bulk requirements that we are seeking this evening or exacerbating this evening, the first of which is parking spaces. The site has 155 parking spaces where, based on township ordinances and the new square footages, 1,147 spaces are required. As I stated previously, and you can see from both Exhibit A1 and A2, this particular applicant doesn't need any additional spaces. In fact, it's my opinion that the site is overparked in its existing condition. And again, this proposed addition to the data center will only equate to 2 or 3 additional on-site personnel, which can be accommodated by the existing parking spaces. Secondly, there's a front yard setback we're going to require for an accessory structure. Because the generators, utility boxes, and transformer pads are considered by the municipal ordinance as an accessory structure, on the southern side, as it faces Route 287, we're proposing an 83.5 foot setback where 100 foot is required. So it's roughly 17 feet. There is a mature tree line along 287. And as I stated previously, we're supplementing that mature tree line with a plethora of additional screening. We'll get to the review letters in a little bit, but the engineer and planner within the municipality have requested some additional plantings and specific plantings to be added. And of course, we'd be amenable to that to offset this proposed variance. But for reference, the building is 138.6 feet from 287. So the building itself doesn't necessitate any variance relief. As I stated previously, there's an existing nonconformance in the side yard for 39.4 feet to an accessory structure. We're actually matching that with the newly proposed utility yard in the southeastern most corner. Again, matching what was previously approved in 2020 with a 39.4 foot setback where 50 foot is required. Again, in this area, and that's for the accessory structures, the transformer pad actually, but the building itself is 62.1 feet and meets the setback requirement. That relief is something that was previously granted, and we're asking for a second relief for the transformer pad in the southeast corner. Those are the reliefs that we're seeking this evening. And that is my presentation. Should anybody have any questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
Thank you, Mike. Madam Chair, make Mr. Marinelli available to any questions you folks might have.
Yes, does anyone on the board have any questions for Mr. Martinelli? Hearing no questions from the board, I would like to open it up to the public now. Ms. Buckley, do you see anyone wishing to ask questions of this witness?
No one's raising their hand, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. You may call your next witness.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our second of three witnesses will be our project architect, Eric Scott.
I want to unshare your screen, Mr. Martinelli.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Scott, if you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address.
Sure. Eric Scott, S-C-O-T-T, and address is 1 East 33rd Street, New York, New York, 10016.
And who are you with, sir?
Highland Associates.
Okay. Raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you God?
I do.
Your witness, Mr. Cowley.
Thank you, counsel. Eric, shortly you'll be testifying as our project architect. So would you give the board the benefit of your background, experience, and licensing in that field?
Hello.
Sure. I have a master's of architecture from Roger Williams University. I'm an architect, licensed architect, and principal at Highland Associates, who is the architect of record for the project. And I've been with Highland for about 15 years. And I've testified previously in other municipalities throughout the state.
Thank you, Eric. Madam Chair, we'd offer Mr. Scott as an expert in the field of architecture.
Yes, the board accepts him as an expert in this area.
Thank you. Okay, Eric, shortly when we screen share and show the board your rendering, we'll mark it as A3. What I'd like you to do, Eric, is take the board on a tour of the proposed addition. They've seen Mike's site plan rendering. I know you were online for that portion of the application a short while ago tonight. But if you could take the board through the elevation rendering so the board can get a sense as to the massing, the color, and what it's going to look like. And then we can work our way briefly into the floor plans thereafter. That'd be great.
Yep, absolutely. Can everybody see my screen?
It's loading. It looks like it's coming up in a second. We got it, Eric.
Okay.
Are you to see it?
Yes, all set, Eric.
Thanks. So, right, as you saw, the addition is an extension of the existing building. So we've provided a few exterior renderings. This exhibit is slightly updated from what was originally submitted. As we've developed the site plan and some of the equipment layout, we've enhanced it from what was submitted just to show some of the plantings, screening, and fencing around the building. We are matching the existing building, so using the precast facade in the exact same function and look that it is today, and bringing that out. It is a two-story building, essentially two stories stacked on top of each other with a similar layout. And as was described, the views from Route 287, our screen with some trees, we actually kind of in the rendering removed some to show a little bit more of what the building and equipment yard would look like. But as you can see, a visual representation of what's being proposed.
Eric, if you could, and this will be A3 exhibit, if you could just identify it by name, and then perhaps with these four images, let the board know the point of reference at which we would be standing, if you could, to sort of orient the board perhaps a little better.
Sure. So this A3 would be 3D rendering images. The top elevation is actually kind of on the southwest side. So this would face Possumtown Road and the main entry. So it's got a few windows at the stair tower and the equipment yard and 287 to the right in the view. The view directly to the bottom left of that is moving around a little bit closer to 287 on the property outside of the fence line. Once again, just sort of a visual representation. You're kind of in the woods, but for visual purposes, we've removed the vegetation, and you can see the equipment yard and the building beyond. Directly underneath that is a view from the, that would be the southeast side of the building. Once again, 287 would be off to your left, and the front of the building would be on the other opposite side of the view right here. This is where you see some of the equipment that's similar to what was being or what has already been constructed as part of the previous approval of that other project. And finally, to the right side, the view from Route 287, kind of standing back, looking through the vegetation at the building. And like we said, the vegetation has been kind of cut away a little bit to show more of the view, But there is a pretty substantial growth there. So most of the view from the building and the equipment would be blocked.
Thank you, Eric. And just so the board's aware, you know, the applicant is very eager to get this going if and when this board acts favorably. I believe we're anticipating that once we get through resolution compliance, we're on about a year construction schedule, give or take, to actually construct this addition. Is that right, Eric?
That is correct.
Okay. And would you concur with Mr. Marinarelli's testimony that the net change of employees is nominal in the ballpark of, you know, a couple of employees? Is that what we suspect here?
Correct. And when we look at the plan, I'll kind of walk through that. But yeah, we're expecting a minimum of like four people.
Perfect. Thank you, Eric. We can go to your next sheet if you want to start moving towards the interior, Eric.
Sure. The next sheet here was submitted previously and unchanged, as will the rest of these plans. This is the first floor composite plan. Just going to zoom in right here. So we walked through the outside of the building. The inside of the building is essentially...
I don't think it's loaded yet.
I still see the first image. I don't know if I'm the only one. That's
yeah, we're still seeing the first.
Let me stop sharing and I'll try resharing.
You got to put a quarter in the computer to get the new image up, I think.
No kidding.
Only a quarter?
Yeah, I know. It's probably a dollar now, right?
Inflation.
I take my kids to the arcade. It cost me $100. I don't get it, but...
Yep. There we go.
Perfect. Thank you, Eric.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
And is my screen still being shared? My Zoom reset.
No.
No.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
So the first floor is a large data center space with mechanical rooms on the top and bottom. There's a corridor surrounding the space, and that is the bulk of the addition. We have some restrooms and some small storage area, as well as a vertical circulation with stairs and elevator to the plan south here. So no new offices, no new kind of personnel areas. It's more of just the same program that's been in the existing building extended to this new addition.
Are those servers or?
They're essentially, yeah, just computer rack cabinets.
Okay.
And if I could, I'll move to the second plan sheet, which shows the second floor. And this is a second floor composite plan A-004B. And this is essentially the kind of a duplicate of the first floor, minus some of the corridors connecting the existing building to the top of the plan. But we have the same data center space on the second floor with restrooms, storage, and vertical circulation.
Perfect. Thank you, Eric.
Moving on to our next sheet is our roof composite plan, A-004C. The roof plan houses some mechanical equipment. There are condensing units that actually feed some of the units within the building. So essentially like a residential split system type of system where there's condensers on the roof, they feed the cooling within the building. And this is all these units serve both the floors, both first and second. And moving on to the next sheet, which are our building elevations, A-201. These show a little bit more of a kind of a detailed elevation from what the renderings show, but the renderings are a little bit clearer of a visual, but essentially it's mimicking the same thing, matching the existing building, following the same relief patterns and design and coloring, as well as the equipment that mimics the previous phases. And the last sheet here, which is cross sections A-302. This shows the two stories and actually has the high point of the building at the 50-foot zoning requirement of the town. There are mechanical units that we looked at in plan shown here in section. Those do not extend past the 12-foot height limitation in the zoning. And there is a screen wall that is essentially an extension of the building facade that hides and shields the mechanical units from view. And that is on all sides of the building. So at each portion of the site, those units are shielded from view.
And I know a rendering is just that, but the rendering we provided to the board, A3, that's essentially a true representation of what you would see out in the field. You didn't see any mechanicals in that rendering, and we're not going to see them when it's constructed.
That's correct. The only mechanicals you would see are on the ground level.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Madam Chair, we make Mr. Scott available to any questions you folks might have.
Are there any other any questions from the board at this time of this witness? I hear no questions from the board. Ms. Buckley, would you check and see? We can open it to the public and see if there are any questions from the board, from the public.
Anyone from the public have any questions? No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, do we have any other witnesses?
We have one more, Madam Chair, our project planner, who will be relatively brief to discuss the new variances we generate here.
Fine. Mm-hmm.
Who is that going to be, Mr. Cali?
Justin, right there with his hand raised.
Okay, is that Justin Osceola?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Sir, could you state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address?
Justin Osceola, AUCIELLO, Gaffone Consulting Group, 125 Half Mile Road, Suite 200, Red Bank, New Jersey, 07701.
Raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, beyond?
Yes, I do.
You're a witness, Mr. Callie.
Thank you, counsel. Justin, briefly, for the benefit of the board, your credentials in the field of professional planning?
Yes, absolutely. So I have a master's degree in planning from Rutgers University that was granted in 2005. I've been a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey since 2008. My planning practice is on both the public and the private side. I've been involved in master planning, in redevelopments on many occasions over on the private side. I've been involved in applications like this, big and small. I've appeared at planning and zoning boards in 18 counties in New Jersey. In Middlesex County, I've appeared at most of them. I believe I appeared at your zoning board years ago. But other than that, I've been qualified as a professional planner on hundreds of occasions in my career.
Thank you, Justin. Madam Chair, we'd offer Mr. Osceola as a professional expert in the field of planning.
He's accepted as an expert in planning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Justin, just before we go through your analysis and conclusions, just a few baseline confirmations. You were online and heard the testimony this evening from our engineer and architect. Is that right?
Correct.
You're familiar with the plans that have been filed with the board?
Yes, I am.
The relief requested?
Yes.
And the zone, the master plan, and all the reports filed, you've had a chance to review all of those in connection with this application?
Yeah, I reviewed all of them.
And, you know, my proffer to the board was that we have slight and limited bulk variance relief. Of course, I've got a bias being the applicant's representative, but Mr. Marinelli went through them sort of objectively and qualified, you know, exactly what the deviations were and where and how much. But if you could, Justin, now, if you wouldn't mind taking the board through the variance proofs to justify the variances that we've identified this evening in connection with this project, that'd be great.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much to the board. So Mr. Marinelli and our architect have have gone through the variances and the site layout and the design that's proposed. So I won't, you know, belabor that point. I understand that it's getting late, but just from the standpoint of the planning proofs, as the board is aware, there are certain proofs that must be put on the record to sustain the required variances. Of course, this is a permitted use. What's currently on the site and what's proposed are all permitted, which of course is why we're here at the planning board. So the analysis is a bit different than if we weren't permitted. The standard of proof for a permitted use for bulk variances is the C variances. And that is under the C1 criteria, whether there's a hardship, and number two, under the C2 criteria, which is it benefits versus the detriments. In this instance, as Mr. Marinelli had stated, we do require variances for the accessory front yard setback, the side yard setback for the accessory as well, for the maximum height in the front yard, and for the parking. I think it's easy to dispose of the parking variance first. As Mr. Marinelli and and the architect, Mr. Scott, had stated, there are, you know, going to be a few new employees that will be generated relative to this project. So the requirement may be high under the ordinance, but there's plenty of parking that currently is at the site to accommodate handful of new employees. So certainly the benefits of this application, relative to any detriments of that variance, I don't see any detriments at all. Relative to the front yard setback for the accessory structure, that's only for the accessory structure, not the principal structure, and that's to 287. Certainly as you heard from our witnesses, that structure will be well buffered to 287 with screening that currently exists, and that will be supplemented with supplemental screening. So certainly the benefits of that to allow the operation of this use to sustain itself in the future do outweigh any detriments. And again, certainly there are no substantial detriments for that variance, and I don't see much in the way of any detriments at all. Relative to the variance for the side yard setback for transformer pad, that is a variance, again, that is for the accessory structure, that is not for the building itself. I also believe that in this instance, there's a hardship, bless you, relative to the size and the layout of the property. The property here tends to taper a bit, so that tends to limit the space in which the applicant can situate that area. So I believe that is a hardship due to the nature of the layout of the lot, but also more importantly, from the standpoint of the C2 analysis, the benefits of granting this variance would outweigh the detriments. And I would say that in looking at the area in which this is situated, it's next to a wooded lot. And I also think it's important, just as the overall context, this is a light industrial area, somewhat remote, next to 287. And this part of the property is surrounded on both sides by wooded area. So I think that's just important just to establish for the record. That is the analysis of the positive criteria. I also think that this is an application that advances at least one purpose of the MLUL. That's criteria G for a sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses. In this instance, it's a data center. Certainly, I believe that there is sufficient space to accommodate the proposed improvements. It's consistent with the master plan. As I had previously stated, even though this is not a use variance analysis, I believe that this is a use that is, or the proposal is particularly suited based on the current layout of the site, and also the nature, the wooded nature in 287. We're well below the maximum building coverage that's permitted in the zone. The impervious coverage, as our engineer has stated, is well less than what was previously existed prior to the data center. I believe that the aesthetics here are consistent with what currently exists, as you heard from our architect. And also the enhanced landscape buffer along 287. Those are all benefits. As to the negative criteria, as the board is aware, that's a showing if there will be a substantial negative impact to the public good. As I had previously stated, I believe that these are nominal proposals in nature, you know, relative to the overall scale of the site. And certainly, given the character of the surroundings and what's proposed, certainly does not rise to the level of being a substantial detriment, let alone, in my professional opinion, much in the way of any detriments. And lastly, variances should not have a negative impact to the zone plan, the zoning ordinance. As I had previously stated, in the LI zone, this is a use as proposed, but currently exists, and what's proposed is permitted. And it's recognized by the zoning ordinance and the master plan. So again, in my professional opinion, no negative impact to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Thank you.
That's all we have on direct this evening, Madam Chair.
Mr. Cowley, can I just ask a quick question? I see in the agenda there was a question raised if the rooftop equipment is going to be at least 12 feet from the roof edge, or an additional variance might be required. Did Mr. Scott address that? Is the equipment more than 12 feet from the edge? I just want to make sure you don't need an extra variance. And sure, you may have said it and I just missed it.
I appreciate that. Eric, can you confirm that dimension?
Correct. I did not mention that. I just talked about the height, but in regards to the distance from the building edge, we are beyond the 12 feet. Perfect. We are 17 feet. And 15 feet.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we didn't need planning testimony on that. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Barlow. Thank you, and thank you, Eric.
Okay, Mr. Barlow, anything else?
No, I assume Mr. Callie's just gonna talk about the reports in a few seconds, but I don't have any other questions.
Did we ask questions of the board on this witness?
I don't think so.
Does the board have any questions on the testimony of Mr. Orsiello? If so, I'd like to open it up to the public at this time, Ms. Buckley.
No one raises their hands, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Closed to the public at this point in time. Mr. Law, you may offer whatever it is you would like to offer. Mr. Cowley, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay, man. I've been called worse. That's okay, Mr. Chair. Chair. So that essentially is our presentation. Relatively, light request this evening to add on more of what's already there. Nothing that in the DNR reports or the CME reports that we think are going to be difficult complying with. Menlo Engineering has been working out, other agency issues with the DNR engineer and your in-house consultants. But by and large, all can be complied with, the EV state requirements, things like that. Nothing that makes the applicant cringe or asking for a reprieve from. And at the end of the day, this is a nice success story of QTS being here for about 15 years, being a good member of the community, and they need to expand because of their own success. So large expansion, but for them, relatively modest on this 38-acre site. And, they're very eager to hopefully get going with this project shortly. And with that, Madam Chair, I just want to thank all of you folks again for your time this evening, for getting us here and for expediting. Mr. Barlow, I see you.
I just want to clarify. So the DNR report of January 25th, 2022, the CME report of January 24th, 2022, and Mr. Hinterstein's January 26th, 2022 reports, the applicant has agreed to comply with them, correct?
I don't think there's any difficulty fully complying with them. I'll ask Mr. Marinelli to confirm that for me. It's mostly design issues.
Okay. Did I get my mic stuff issue fixed? I think I did.
You're right. We hear you.
Excellent. So yes, we've reviewed all three of those letters with those dates and agree to comply with the conditions within them.
Okay. And the other question I had, Mr. Cowley, was I thought in the beginning there was Mr. Marinelli may have said, the four EV stations from the previous approval have been put in and the applicant was going to spruce that up, I think is something to that effect. So does that mean you're putting in the three additional EV charging stations?
The intent is to comply yes. with the state regulations, which I think we generate the need for more here, Mr. Barlow. So I think it's two more dual ports are probably what's going to come into play here. Is that right, Mike?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we will comply with the requirements of the EV stations. I believe in this case, the additional spaces would be make ready, but the applicant has already expressed interest in actually just building them at this time.
Right. Well, that's my question. The state statute would have them be made ready.
Right.
The municipal request was to actually put in the EV stations. And I just want to make it clear on the record. So the applicant is planning on putting in the actual EV stations.
That is correct. In fact, they said they like to do them in pairs. So although seven would be required, they would actually concede eight EV stations.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay.
Mr. Marinelli, we're all in agreement with, this is Ron Reinertsen, we're all in agreement with the parking. I think it's the warehouse standard. I mean, Dawn can just confirm that. Because I was a little confused, right. But I think we're all in agreement on this at this point.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so actually this came up during the workshop meeting. We had been calculating it based on 1 per 200 square foot of industrial space, but it was clarified during that we were calculating it inappropriately, and it would be actually 1 per 500, as is noted in the January 26th letter, in the January 5th letter, where it's calculated out. So we've amended the zoning table to reduce it from 2,000 some odd spaces to the 1,100.
Just wanted to clarify, my letter kind of left it open-ended. I said, I agreed with Dawn's numbers, but now we're all on the same page on where it's generated.
Agreed. Dawn, you concur?
I do.
And Mr. Reinertsen, would you agree that if they put in the extra 1,000 parking spaces, it'd basically be a sea of asphalt out there?
Yeah, I think that it would probably go over to the Bob's Discount Furniture lot that they're developing there. I think testimony on planning proved that just doesn't work for this site.
Thank you.
Okay. Fine. Okay, members of the board, I think you've heard the complete application that's been presented thus far. Do I hear a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion. We approve the application subject to the CME report, the DNR report, and the staff report.
Do I hear a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, folks. Nice seeing you. Wish everybody a good night, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Larry.
Good night.
Thank you.
Number 13.
All right. 11. I've gotten my pages out of order here. I'm sorry. Okay, number 13 was adjourned. Number 14 was adjourned.
Number 13, duly audited bills to be paid.
Okay, 16, duly audited bills.
You have the old one again.
I have this one too.
Okay, go ahead, Madam Chair.
It's still duly audited bills. Do I have a motion to pay the bills, please?
There you go.
Dawn Corcoran, so moved.
Thank you.
Someone?
Second motion.
We get a motion?
Yep. Reverend
Kennedy. Do I have a second?
Yep. Reverend Kennedy seconded it. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Enjoy this Super Bowl this weekend. Next meeting will be March 9th, 7:30.
Go Bengals.
Have a wonderful evening.
Good night, everybody. Have a good
night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.